speakers and don't necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, its staff, or management.
Welcome to your weekend healthy chat with Dr. Sarah Little. Dr. Little is a board-certified pediatrician on staff at Middletown Community Health Center. Each week, Dr. Little and her guests discuss children, parenting, family relationships, and the resources you need for a productive and healthy lifestyle. And now, Dr. Sarah Little.
This isn't live. This is definitely being taped.
Mm-hmm.
But we pretend like, right?
That's
the whole thing.
Boy, would I have a copy of the because I, you know, put it on my website.
Your FTP site, I should say. Yeah.
Good.
Oh, good. Good, good.
Yeah, I have a, you know, the business.
So,
the,
so
I'd like to put a link to it or something.
I send you that directly.
Excellent, so I can say, you know, listen.
Start going to Walmart, getting the CDs, and doing it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I get a recording, like I said, you know, I'm on Facebook, I have my website,
yeah,
and I would love to promote it.
Oh, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
Absolutely. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Good morning, and welcome to your weekend healthy chat. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and today's guest is an ASHA certified audiologist and owner of Lyric Audiology. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Harriet Jacobster. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Dr. Sarah. How are you?
Very good, thank you. So let's get started. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into audiology, and basically, what is audiology?
Okay, well, first of all, what is audiology? Audiology is the study of hearing problems, balance problems, and treatment options. And
so how did you get interested in the field?
Well, I actually started out as a classical pianist and classical musician.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's why I named my company Lyric.
Ah, very nice.
And when I was living abroad in Israel, I got very interested in using music as a treatment option for the brain-injured soldiers.
Oh, music therapy.
Exactly, but this was way before music therapy actually became a viable course of study.
Uh-huh.
So when I returned to this country, I went around to all these people and saying, this is what I want to do. And one person said, you've got to be an audiologist. This is the field for you.
So that's the calling.
That's the calling. So that's how I became an audiologist some 30 years ago.
Very nice. Very nice. And so what are the age ranges of patients that you see?
Well, in my office, I am equipped to see children from 5 years up.
Okay.
And geriatrics. I mean, my oldest patient in my office is actually, she was just 99.
Ah, very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
I don't have the special equipment for the younger babies at this time. Hopefully we'll expand.
So what are the more common things that patients get to refer to you for? So what are some of the things you see not only in children, also adults?
Well, in children, it's mostly they're tugging at their ears. They have middle ear infections.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a cold. Mommy says, I don't know, not paying attention, doesn't come when I call. I mean, all these, or she plays the TV too loud, or he or she shouts too much. All these could be signs of early hearing problems in a child.
So now what do you do to detect that?
We have a special test. It's called the middle ear test, or an emittance battery. And we actually check the pressure in the middle ear to see, is there fluid? Is the eardrum moving freely? And that's how we can pretty much detect if there is a problem with the middle ear system. Now, adults, depending if it's a male or female, usually the males come because their wives tell them they're not listening.
Which could be selective hearing,
exactly.
As in the case of my husband.
We have a cure for that, too. Or all of a sudden they wake up and they're not hearing so well. Or, I don't know, I've got this noise in my ear. Or, I hear fine, but when I'm in a crowd or in a restaurant, I'm not catching everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, with an adult, it's more of, I'm not quite getting it.
Right. All right, perfect. Now, with children, I know a lot, we had just spoke about middle ear infections, and I know one of the issues that we have in the office is getting our patients to follow up, like in the 2 weeks, to check to see if that fluid is still present. Now, I know we talked about it, so how many Is it a chronic problem where if you have multiple ear infections, it can lead to hearing loss, or how does that work?
Okay.
Just so our patients are aware, because considering, you know, we have to do whatever it takes to get them to follow up, and sometimes they just don't, so I want them to realize how serious this problem is.
It's a very serious problem, because chronic, untreated, undetected middle ear problems in children can lead to cognitive language delays, cognitive delays,
absolutely,
auditory processing delays, and also constant chronic ear infections and fluid. It's not relieved, actually leads to something called glue ear, which I'm sure you're familiar
with. Oh, absolutely.
Which is where that fluid behind the eardrum actually turns to glue.
Yeah.
And it can erode the middle ear bones. It can actually destroy the entire ear system and lead to a permanent hearing loss.
Absolutely.
So it's extremely important that parents be very well aware of this issue and follow up with their pediatricians and their audiologists to make sure these issues are resolved.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you for stating that. Now, I know you've touched upon auditory processing. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and how you go about testing it, the treatment?
Excellent. Auditory process, well, think of, you can hear, if, let's say you're sitting in a room and someone is speaking Greek to you. You hear
Which does
them.
Happen, as my partner is Greek.
Oh,
and yes, Dr. Martakis, he would love it.
Let's say someone is speaking Greek to you. You hear it. You physically hear it, but it means nothing to you. You don't understand. Okay. This is something like an auditory processing disorder where the child physically has usually normal or near normal hearing, but the words are all jumbled up. It's like a jumble.
Yeah, exactly.
And the child can't make sense of it. There are very specific tests for it. It is a cognitive problem. Sometimes it can be caused by a peripheral or, you know, problem in the ear itself, but it's usually just a miswiring in the brain. And we do have very specific tests that test the different aspects of language and speech.
Do you have these tests in the office?
Yes, I do.
Good.
As a matter of fact, I'm one of the few audiologists in this area who actually does test for this disorder.
Oh, that's great. So what are the tests? Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Tests are basically like speech and noise, filtered speech, what is it called? Speech that is distorted. All right, like someone mumbling, and the child has to tell me what they hear. There are also very special tests like a pitch pattern where the child is supposed to tell me if two pitches, three pitches are the same, are they different, is one high, duration, recalling numbers, sequences, memory recall. All of these are part of a battery. Okay, it's not one test,
right, but it's multiple.
A lot of little tests. And taking all these this information together tells us not only does the child have a problem, but where that problem is.
Right, that way you know how to go
to
on
treat
with treatment.
Them.
Absolutely.
And depending on where the problem is, there's different treatment options. A lot of it is, for instance, music therapy, music training. If the child has difficulty discerning pitches or length of tones, I actually play a piano with them. I have a keyboard on my iPad, and I give them ear training exercises.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, another.
And do you also train the parents so they know how to do this at
definitely
home?
Definitely. I give them home instructions.
Great.
Matter of fact, one of my very favorite things to do with kids is teach them how to juggle.
Huh. Now, how does that help with the hearing?
It's not the hearing, it's the brain. It's getting both sides of the brain to talk to each other.
Very nice.
And juggling is a left-right coordination. And it's, you'd be surprised, just learning how to, I had to learn how to juggle.
Yeah, I have no clue. Maybe you could teach me after this.
Teaching the child how to juggle actually improves and increases the pathways between the two parts of the brain.
That's great.
It's fun, too.
That's great.
It's really fun.
Now, with the auditory processing disorders, can you detect these as early as 5, or are you looking more at the school age, like 6 and above?
Okay. The tests themselves are not what we call normed or do not have normal results for children younger than 7.
Okay.
Also, we don't like to do children younger than 7 because the brain pathways, the neural pathways,
That's different.
Mm-hmm. Have not yet really been formed to the point where there's a consistency.
Right.
However, if a parent suspects it, there are still some screening tests that we can do as young as 5 that would say the child is not yet, we don't know, we can't diagnose a problem, but we can suspect the problem and maybe start therapy early.
Great. Now, that's great. And a touch back again with the fluid in the ear. So what are the treatments for that? What do you recommend?
Well, for fluid in the ear, that has to go back to the pediatrician, the physician, the ENT.
Right.
And you're probably better at this than I am. But usually it starts off, I believe, as careful watching to make sure, see if the fluid does resolve itself. If the fluid doesn't and it does become an actual infection, then I guess at the discretion of the physician, you would start with the either antihistamines, decongestants, or antibiotics.
Right. I see a lot of, I know that putting in tubes is another treatment modality. Do you see a lot of children with tubes?
Not as much as I did in the beginning.
Okay.
Because with the new guidelines that came out, I believe about 15-16 years ago, and even newer ones more recently, tubes are really not the first line.
Yeah, usually it's a very last ditch effort.
They're very less. And you know, tubes can also be used in adults with chronic middle ear infections and eustachian tube problems.
All right, perfect. Well, we'll get back to adults right after this, so please stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Kathy.
And I'm Bob. There's an item from our